Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, March 9th, 2014. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The 21st Annual Washington Regional Gala, an evening of Arkansas country music featuring Joe Nichols and special guest Back Road Anthem, is Tuesday, April 8th at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Tickets and details are available at 443-5600 or waltonartscenter.org.
Ahead, we visit the kitchen of Jen Lewis, take a spin in a state-run mobile clinic that aids veterans in rural communities, and we meet a recovering opiate addict who has found hope with methadone. Those stories and more.
But first, the snow and ice from last week has pretty much melted, but it had quite the impact on the week's news. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has more in this week's Week in Review.
As the week began, the topic on the minds of many was the winter weather that dumped inches of snow and sleet over a significant portion of the state. With the winter precipitation came covered roadways, but Randy Ort, public information officer for the state's highway department, said that unlike some other efforts nationally, Arkansas crews are keeping up with winter.
We have not had any problems replenishing our salt supplies up to this point. It has been a very difficult winter. A storm like this one, you know, salt loses its melting properties once temperatures get down below 22, 23 degrees. So not much salt being used in North Arkansas, not much being used here in Central Arkansas right now. We're having to rely on other chemicals such as calcium chloride and magnesium chloride.
But not everyone seemed convinced that the state was keeping up. During the week, some motorists on interstates in Arkansas were stranded when traffic came to a standstill because of the icy conditions, and Governor Mike Beebe even questioned the highway department's response, saying that although crews may have pre-treated highways, the apparent trouble that the department had in clearing highways was unacceptable when compared to the storm response in neighboring states. And the winter weather also delayed the start of proceedings in the trial of former Arkansas Treasurer Martha Shoffner. She faces 14 counts of bribery and extortion for allegedly taking six payments of $6,000 each from a bond broker in exchange for the broker's company getting the state's investment business. During her arraignment last fall, Shoffner attempted to plead guilty and acknowledged taking money from the broker. But U.S. District Judge Leon Holmes refused to accept the plea as Shoffner disputed the state's assertion for why she took the money. Gwen Moritz, editor of Arkansas Business, has been following the case extensively and says that the refused plea will be a factor in the case.
The fact that she made some admissions like that in open court can be used against her and are going to complicate her defense on that. But I think, they're going to present evidence. We've seen a lot of filings in this case that give an idea of just what the prosecution plans to do and give hints of what the defense plans to do. There was some suggestion that even recordings that are going to be submitted in evidence suggest that Martha really didn't understand a lot of the business transactions that her office was doing.
Jury selection began Wednesday afternoon, and the trial is expected to last through much of the coming week. Meanwhile, Shoffner will later face a second trial on 10 counts of wire fraud that were filed against her last month for allegedly misspending nearly $10,000 in campaign funds. Another court proceeding this week pleased opponents of a law passed last year that was aimed at placing stricter requirements on the state's ballot initiative process. In an opinion Tuesday, Judge Mary McGowan ruled all six sections of Act 1413 are unconstitutional because of placing poorly defined conditions on petition-gathering efforts, thus hampering and impairing the ability of Arkansans to exercise their rights. State Senator Robert Thompson of Northeast Arkansas co-sponsored the bill last year and says the low validity rate of signatures from 2012 petitions led him to support the law.
A couple of petition-gathering campaigns ended in some troubling results where it was fairly obvious that a lot of the signatures had been fraudulently obtained. So the purpose behind the act was try to reduce fraud or or other misconduct in the petition gathering process.
However, the Secretary of State's office fulfilled its task of identifying bad signatures and groups pushing measures were required, as in the past, to submit additional signatures to meet thresholds for being placed on the ballot. David Couch represented the plaintiffs in the case and argues the new requirements are unrealistic for canvassers.
Say you got a groceries in one hand and a baby in the other hand, and you write your name on there and you ask the person to fill out your address for you. You could do that previously, but under that new law, you couldn't do that because you could only do it if the person had a disability, although it didn't define disability. And if you didn't follow that process, then you committed a crime. So it really put the petitioners, you know, kind of like, wow, if I make a wrong call on what is or what isn't a disability, I could go to jail.
The act also, for the first time, made distinctions between paid and unpaid canvassing, required entire petition sheets to be thrown out if just one signature were invalid, and required canvassers to register their address publicly with the Secretary of State's office. Aaron Sadler, spokesman for the Attorney General's office, says the office is considering an appeal and has expected the case might end up being decided by the Arkansas Supreme Court. And Crawford County officials this week announced that they think they may have found a site for a new county jail. John Hall, Crawford County judge, says that the 8.5-acre site is a vacant car lot on Highway 64 between Van Buren and Alma. Hall says that though 9 different potential sites were considered, he and other county leaders felt that this site has the most potential.
It's got a 4-lane split access road with an access straight across that can go in and out of it. It has got all the amenities we have, the traffic. We looked at 59 Highway North, but the traffic up there is so bad that it's hard for people to get in and out of it. For emergency vehicles to run that way, it makes it almost impossible without having some kind of weight or have some kind of endangerment there of people trying to get through the sheriff's office and different ones trying to get through traffic. So it was basically picked because that was the most logical one. It'd be the least grade work if everything's right, and it has the best accessibility, and it is right next to the city of Van Buren, which is very important. We didn't want to go a long ways out because we wanted to be as close as we could to the county seat.
The site would cost the county about $275,000, but Hall says that much remains to be done before the county can pull the trigger on the land purchase. Namely, Crawford County voters in May will have to approve an increase to the county's sales tax to actually fund the facility's construction. From the Harold and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.